The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max. Feel free to hop aboard and join the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Brian Windhorst is going to join us in 10 minutes. Plus, in about an hour or so, a couple of big-time NFL QBs making some bold statements. But speaking of bold statements, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's get to last night's action in Game 5 of the Western Conference. I'm just going to start here. Look, you saw the game. I'm not going to sit here and try to break down the game. While, look, there are plenty of things I can tell you about from that game that were fantastic. But it all begins and ends, from the Clippers' perspective, with Paul George. And Paul George deserves your respect. I know he's an easy target. I know that he's actually given you the blogosphere, the Twitter sphere, the fans, plenty of ammunition in the past. Because nowadays, in 2021, everything you say or do is scrutinized every which way in between. And Paul George takes the brunt of that. Again, for some reasons that are valid, but most which are petty on fans' parts. Okay? Now, I know Laker fans don't want to hear this because Lakers fans have their own issues with Paul George, plus the rivalry, the city rivalry, which isn't really a rivalry. It's more like, it's really more like the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. You know, it's not really a rivalry. You know, the Roadrunner always wins or generally tends to win. But here is the opportunity for the Clippers to finally get some respect. And it also coincides with Paul George finally getting some respect back. And what do I mean by back? Man, it wasn't that long ago where Paul George was 22, 23, 24 years old, battling in the conference finals with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, with the Pacers and the Heat, played them 3 years in a row, conference semifinals and back-to-back conference finals. And we thought to ourselves, yo, Paul George, that's the real deal, man. Pacers got a steal out of Fresno State. Look at this kid. He's balling. He's only going to get better. And I don't know if it was the injury, which was, let's face it, awful, during the Team USA stuff, or if it's a combination of that and just social media and people yammering about him constantly that has put him in this place where it feels like he's unsure of himself. But that was not the case last night. Paul George took care of business in an elimination game. I don't want to hear any more nonsense about Pandemic P or whatever it is you want to call him. That was playoff P. As a matter of fact, that wasn't even playoff P. That was Pacer P. The kid who was playing with the Pacers. Paul George yesterday became the first player in NBA history to score 40 points on at least 75% field goal percentage, 50% from three, and 100% from the free throw line in a postseason game. His last 10 games have been incredible, averaging over 30 points, double-digit rebounds, and about 6 or 7 assists a game. He's played more minutes than anyone in the playoffs. 735. The next highest, Trae Young, 568. This dude is balling right now. And I'm not saying you gotta like him. I'm not saying you can't even root against him. Hell, I'm not even saying you can't occasionally make fun of him if he does something that's deserving. But you need to put some respect on that man's name. He has put up at least 20 points in all 18 of the playoff games that he's played. And the only other players in NBA history to score at least 20 in their first 18 games in a single playoffs are Michael Jordan, who did it 3 times, 92, 97, 98, Kobe Bean Bryant, may he rest in peace, in 2008, and Kevin Durant in 2012 and 2018. So, I'm not saying that Paul George is Kobe. I'm not saying that he's Michael Jordan. I'm certainly not saying that he's Kevin Durant or any of those guys. What I'm telling you is he is a really good player. And he has elevated his game when the best player on his team, Kawhi Leonard, went down. And he looks like the guy with the Indiana Pacers. What was the guy with the Indiana Pacers? I'll tell you what he was. He was the guy with the ball in his hands. He was a guy who his first goal was, I got to make sure I can take care of what I need to take care of to get myself going. And then secondarily, I will be a creator for others. Whereas with the Clippers, let me explain something to you. I know this. I live in Los Angeles. I've covered this team a lot. I've done a lot of their games on NBA sidelines over the last couple of seasons, as I do most of the West Coast games. What's happened to Paul George, particularly this season, was that they were telling him, hey man, we know that your first year here with the Clippers, you had to be the creator. Well, with Doc gone and Ty Lue there, they bring in Chauncey Billups, whose sole job was to say, Paul, I'm going to be your personal coach on how to get guys involved, how to play that point guard position from one of the best who ever played that point guard position, particularly in high leverage moments. So all this stuff has been brewing, and he has been up and down and, you know, all over the place at times. But when it's mattered most, all the stuff he learned from Chauncey this season has come to fruition. And when everyone counted them out, when Kawhi went down, he has stepped up to the plate. So he deserves your respect. It's just that simple. But here's the deal. He is human, and he hears you. And I know you'll take that as a sign of weakness, but he was asked yesterday in the postgame, hey, Paul, do you hear all the stuff that people say about you? Here's what he said.
I do. And it's the honest truth. It's a fact. But I can't worry about that. It comes with the job, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, I still try to go and dominate whether I'm shooting the ball well or not shooting the ball well. I still try to dominate just the whole game in general. To me, it doesn't come down to just scoring.
So it's funny because prior to game five in this series, I had a friend of mine who is, let's just call him a notorious Laker fan who is not very fond of the Clippers. And I'm sitting there texting them because, you know, it's what you do with your boys and your friends, right? You're just like, you text them like, yo, what you got to say about Paul George tonight? You know, you ain't calling him Pandemic P tonight, are you? He gives me this, well, you know, they've been fortunate. Chris Paul's been dinged up and Devin Booker's face has been smashed. And, you know, he is averaging, before game five, he was averaging 35% in this series. I'm like, bro, he's out there playing with Reggie Jackson, who was almost out of the league. God bless him, because he's playing like the guy that Stan Van Gundy thought he was getting in Detroit. You know, Marcus Morris Sr., who's a nice player, but he's not some star. And Terrence Mann, who was a second-round pick. Like, what do you expect him to shoot? Everybody knows he's going to shoot the ball. So the fact that he had that game yesterday, I think, is an even bigger reason why he deserves your respect. It's wild how people talk about Paul George. And if you think I'm nuts saying it, Quentin Richardson was on KJZ this morning. Former NBA player. I love Q. Here's what he said about it.
It's kind of absurd that the kind of, you know, reaction he gets when he doesn't play the greats. I mean, if you go through superstar for superstar, everybody has a game or something here or there. I think it's just much more inflammatory on him when he does it for whatever the reason is. And I mean, for me, Paul George has been proved to me that he was a superstar in this league and that he belongs in those conversations and that he's one of the best players we have. And I think I'm just happy that he's been able to go out here this postseason and as difficult it is to play without Kawhi, I'm glad that he's been able to have these games and show people what he's really about. And hopefully that kind of tapers down, because I don't think he deserves a lot of the criticism he gets all the time like that.
That was Quentin Richardson on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. He's right. People need to taper this thing down, man. Like, this man is out there and he's balling. He's playing great. and you are just locked and loaded in your Twitter drafts, ready to just unload on him the second he has a bad game and they lose. That's just crazy to me. What has happened to us as a society? You know, that this is where we're at. Look, we'll have more on this. I'd love to open it up to you guys. Has Paul George earned your respect? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In a little bit, I want to get to Stephen A. He made some comments yesterday about Kawhi Leonard on SportsCenter that I thought were fascinating. We'll get to that in just a bit. But joining us now here on the Goodyear Hotline, our pal Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider. By the way, that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So, Brian, I was just sitting here talking about Paul George, and I get it. Sometimes he's made some comments that maybe he deserves some of the ribbing that he gets. I get that. But there's no way anyone on God's green earth can be watching the way he's played over the last 10 games, particularly the games without Kawhi, and not say that guy reminds me or looks more finally like the guy we saw in Indiana a couple of years ago. What do you make of what you're seeing from Paul George right now?
Well, I think he's playing better than he even played in Indiana. You know, the thing about Paul George that's difficult is that he's a high variance player. He has a very inconsistent outside shot. It's gotten better. His top end has gotten a lot better since he went to Oklahoma City. When he's shooting it well, especially from three-point range, he's gotten better. But you go back and look at his history, there's a handful or more playoff series he's played where his team has won, and he's still shot under 40% from the field. He's going to have games where he just doesn't shoot the ball that great. He's going to defend most of the time, and, you know, this series he's been a tremendous rebounder. But if you're going to base your entire judgment on Paul George about how those outside shots go down, he's going to continue to yo-yo on you because he is not the type of shooter that Steph Curry or Kevin Durant are. He's not that type of player. But he's still up there in the top 15. He's still an all-NBA player. He's just not a top three or four player. And that difference makes all the difference in the world in this time of year. But this has been his greatest playoff run in his career. And because of the nature of who he is and the team that he plays for, when he plays bad, he's going to get ripped. And when he plays good, he's going to get praised. Welcome to being a superstar in the NBA.
Brian Windhorst with us here, of course, the host of the Hoop Collective podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review, and make sure you listen to everything Brian does there on that podcast. It's a fantastic podcast. So how did executives feel about Paul George during the last couple of years, right? Because, look, one thing is for fans to say stuff about him or even media members, but how have executives viewed him in the most recent past and even now as you talk to people perhaps about what they're seeing at the moment?
Well, he's a guy who plays at both ends of the court, plays the wing position, and can handle the ball. And now has become a more dangerous outside shooter. Since his second year in Oklahoma City onward, he's really become a lot better. This is the rarest of birds out there, other than, you know, the Kawhi, Durant, LeBron type guys who are finals MVP caliber players. It's just incredibly difficult to get a guy who can defend and score and shoot and play multiple positions. You know, there's guys who are significantly less talented than him who are on $100 million contracts because that skill set is so desired. And so, you know, he is a guy that you question, you know, his focus because he is basically asked out of two organizations. And, you know, I know that in Oklahoma City there was an understanding when he re-signed that he may have some flexibility, but two times he's gone to his team and said he wants to be traded. And you have to know that about him. You know, if you enter into with him, you have to know that sometimes he's going to come to you and say, I don't want to be there. You have to know that sometimes he's going to have games where he shoots, you know, 5 of 24, because that's who he is. But you sign him because you know that there are going to be nights when he shoots 15 to 20, as he did. And remember, George, when he entered this situation with the Clippers, he entered it as a number two. You can frame it 1,000 different ways, and you can use quotes that he has said and everything like that. At the end of the day, he came in to be the number one supporting player to Kawhi Leonard. And he did that because he knew where he was in the world. Now, we all strive for more. We all hope to be better, and maybe this is the beginning of a run for Paul George where he's going to make a magical run. But I think if he was deep down serious, he would tell you he came to be a 1A or a 1B, however you want to call it, not the guy. And right now he's being the guy, and you're going to see him struggle under that weight sometimes.
Brian, I don't believe Kawhi Leonard is going to play this postseason, but that's just me speculating. What do we know about his situation?
We know that he's got a sprained knee. And the word sprain means tear. Okay, so that means he has a partially torn ACL. And if I had a partially torn ACL, I would be pretty worried about being a fully torn ACL. Now, you brought an orthopedist on here. He could talk to you for 3 hours about the difference between a grade one, grade two, grade three, and he knows all way more than I know about that. But if you have a sprained ACL, a partially torn ACL, the concern about tearing it fully is real. And so, as I said, when he had this injury, a sprained ACL is a weeks-long injury recovery, not a days-long injury recovery. It feels like he's missed a lot of time, George, because the Clippers have had to play so many games. The way they put themselves in these series and everything, that they've had no off time, they have played every other day for like 34 straight days or something. And so it feels like he's been out a long time. He's really only been out like less than 2 weeks. And, you know, most of these knee sprains of any significance are much longer than that in recovery.
There's been some speculation about his future there. What do you think of that?
I have no credible information about that. And I don't think that's going to change because he does a really good job of keeping it internal. What I would say is this. He told two championship organizations that he didn't want to be there anymore because he wanted to get to the situation with the Clippers. And considering everything, common sense would dictate to me, why would you give up on that? Is he 1,000% happy? No. Are you? Is anybody? Probably not. But considering how well this Clippers team is playing, I mean, if they had Paul George, this series might be over. I'm sorry, if they had Kawhi Leonard, this series might be over. Because I certainly see them winning games 2 and 4, the two games they lost in the last 10 seconds. I see them winning those games with Kawhi Leonard. So if they had Kawhi, they'd be in the finals right now. And I think playing at home, he's with an owner who's willing to spend, I think he's well aware of the potential that's still there.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, host of the Hoop Collective podcast. Speaking of futures, what do we know about Damian Lillard's future in Portland?
I know what has been written and said, and I know that there's frustration because for the first time, really, Dame has felt some heat and some wrath from the Portland fans, ironically, in the middle of the biggest heat wave of all of everyone's lifetime in Portland, and that made him uncomfortable. I know that he is not thrilled with how everything has gone with the organization, but he was very interested in Chauncey Billups becoming his coach. I think you're never going to hear him say that because he has already been a little bit singed by tying himself to a candidate that comes in with some level of scrutiny and controversy, and he didn't like that. I do believe that the Blazers are on thin ice, probably the thinnest ice they've ever been with Dame. But in my conversations that I've had, while I sense that frustration, I don't sense that he's at his breaking point yet. I could be wrong. We've got an off season to happen. Things could happen, you know, behind the scenes that could change that. But I know he's frustrated, but I don't think he's at that point yet.
Lastly for you, Brian, and thank you so much for the time. Ben Simmons, we know that Rich Paul reached out to Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey then said what he's supposed to say, right? That Ben is a part of their franchise and what they want to do with him moving forward. They want to make sure that he helps his situation and gets better, you know, shooting, et cetera, et cetera. They want to support him. What do you think of Ben Simmons' future in Philly?
Well, they've already tried to trade him. You know, I think people seem to forget that. They already tried to trade him. Now, granted, they tried to trade him for one of the top five players in the league, but they already tried to trade him. So, you know, they can't with a straight face say that they're absolutely keeping him because That's not been their position. That said, now is a terrible time to trade him. A terrible time to trade him. And, you know, I really had hoped he would go play for Australia because the Australians have a really good Olympic team. They got a real good chance of meddling, and if you catch the U.S. on a sleepy day, they could push him hard because it's a chock full of NBA players. And I was really hoping he could maybe have a positive experience in Japan and perhaps rebuild some of his value. But he has elected to focus on skill development. And so we're not going to see him for a while. And I just think that it's very hard to do any sort of deal with his value at this level. Do Daryl Morey and Joel Embiid in their heart of hearts and maybe their own private conversations believe that Ben Simmons is going to be there for a long term? When Joel Embiid signs his Supermax extension this offseason, which I feel good that he will, is he signing that thinking he's signing to play with Ben Simmons for the next 5 years? I doubt it, but that doesn't mean that everybody should be running to their trade machine. I do think that there's going to be other moves they can do, and they want to see what happens with Ben working on some things with his eyes more open this summer. If he comes back and is the same player, I think you could definitely see something happen, but not now.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, one of the best in the business. Make sure you subscribe to his Hoop Collective podcast and get all the information and nuggets that you need for the NBA. Brian, always a pleasure, brother. Good catching up with you.
Thanks, George. Have a good day.
You too, man. That's Brian Windhorst with us here. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right, coming up next, tonight is huge for Giannis. In more ways than you think, he can validate himself in many, many ways. Just this evening. We'll get to that in a second, plus your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But first, recent data shows that out of all the female-owned businesses, it's estimated that 1 in 3 is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one of the such mompreneurs. Of course, she needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter. Their technology helps her find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, four out of five employers, who post on ZipRecruiter to get a quality candidate, they get it within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max, M-A-X. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. How big is tonight's game for Giannis? Well, validation is on the line. George Sedano in for Max. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show rolls on. George Sedano in for Max here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks to Brian Windhorst for joining us earlier. If you missed any part of the show, each and every day, of course, you can always subscribe to Max's podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Now, you know, I was talking about how, you know, it was cool to work with Raj and Bubba yesterday, and, you know, we got Connor on the board today, but look what the cat dragged in here. Nuno is around. Nuno, where have you been all my life?
I'm trying to get over the Knicks disaster.
I mean, disaster. You had the greatest season you've had in like 20 years. What are you so mad about?
I fooled myself into thinking we could win a first-round matchup. What do you think? Oh,
okay, I actually did buy that hype, and shame on me because, as you know, I have spent 20 years making fun of the Knicks, and I fell for the hype, and I thought they'd beat Atlanta, and they, of course, did not. But look, man, you got a bright future. You got cap space. You got young guys. Be happy for once.
Oh, no, I'm happy. Now I just spend my time figuring out how we can get either Dame or Donovan Mitchell on our squad and then call it a day.
You ain't getting Donovan Mitchell. Maybe Dame. You never know. Though Brian doesn't think that's the case. But good to have you aboard as well, Nuno. Good to hear your voice again. All right, so let's get to the phones. 888-SAY-ESPN. I want to get into Giannis a little bit tonight and how he can validate his decision, which, let's face it, was scrutinized in just a few moments. But let's go to the phones. Raj, scroll down here for me a bit so I can see who's there. All right, Solomon is in L.A. Solomon, can you give Paul George just some modicum of respect after last night?
Oh, absolutely. Your interview with, Brain Cramp, who you just talked with.
Brian.
About him. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Brian Windhorst. And made it really clear. If you're going to look at him as a number one You know, that's tough. He still has to deliver the goods, and that's just the sad reality of what it is to be a star in the NBA. As a number two, he's outperformed himself. Without Kawhi Leonard to bring that team as far as it's gone, I will give him credit for that. That is an amazing task. That's an amazing feat. So, yes, I give him credit for that. But if you're going to be a number one, you want to wear that crown, you got to deliver the goods. That's just the way it goes, you know?
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with you, Solomon, and thank you for the call. I actually think he's more comfortable in this role we're seeing now. It's more native to him. Whereas being the number two and having to be the de facto point guard, because this team doesn't really have a point guard. I mean, Rondo, but only for a few minutes a game at this stage of his career. It's a lot to have to sit there and be focused on, okay, how do I get myself involved? How do I get Kawhi involved? How do I get the other guys involved? It's not as easy as you think if it's not natural to you. So that's part of the challenge of Paul George. It's why I actually think he's better off. You know, he's not championship good, perhaps, as a number one, but he's more comfortable, clearly. Can they make him comfortable being that number two? Can Kawhi adjust some, perhaps? Maybe that needs to be in their future. Primo is in L.A. Primo, what's up?
How are you guys? Listen, man, the Clippers would win. They would beat the Nets if Kawhi and Paul George were playing together. But this is what I want to say. Paul George is kind of like Russell Westbrook. Not exactly alike, but the comparison, both of them are great athletes, can get their own shot. Paul George is just, he's learning how to shoot the long three. But Russell and Paul George have the same thing as far as making poor decisions in critical times. And with 23 seconds to go, 41 seconds to go, they don't make the greatest decisions with the ball, with the shot selection or passing the ball. But as far as skill level, Paul George has thrilled me to death, man. And he wanted to be at home, and we love him back at home. That's where I'd want to be.
All right, Primo, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Now let's go to Mike in Palmdale, California, the hometown of Paul George. Mike, how are you?
What up, George? How you guys doing, man? You know me, diehard Lakers fan. Like I always say when I call, and there ain't every Clipper fan is a Laker fan at heart. But man, it was really, really incredible to see that game and the way everybody was playing. Morris was just draining them. It was like he was throwing rocks in the pond. And Jackson, is that his name, Jackson? Reggie, man,
yes.
That guy's been helping Paul George out. Oh man, it was just fun to see, and the respect is there. And I was pissed off when he missed those two free throws. But you know what, dude? It's fun to watch. Our Lakers are out, and then the Clippers are holding it down. And I really hope that we could see them in the finals, man. That'll be really cool. And you guys have a good day. And I think those afternoon guys are pretty pissed off. And I'm not talking about Mason and Ireland.
You're saying my cohorts in the afternoon on ESPN Los Angeles? All right, Mike, we'll see. I don't know if that's the case, but we'll see. Now, you know, look, we'll find that out. If you want to tune in, stream it on the ESPN app. Sedano, LZ, and Cap, weekday afternoons, 4 to 7 Pacific time on ESPN Los Angeles. Thank you for the plug there, Mike. But look, Reggie Jackson is an interesting one, too, that you brought up. I mentioned it briefly earlier. That man was almost out of the league. Like, he thought about retiring at one point. That's how bad it was for him. So it is a great story with him. You know what's another great story? Is Giannis. Giannis can validate his decision to stay in Milwaukee. Because a lot of criticism came his way, and I'm not going to lie, I was one of them, that said, do you really want to stay there? And then they made the Jrue Holiday deal, and I like Jrue Holiday. But I was like, yo, that's a lot of assets to give up for Jrue Holiday. He was a one-time All-Star. You are locked in. And they've been a little fortunate, but sometimes in life, it's better to be lucky than good. And Giannis is in control. Giannis can win a championship this year. And if they do that, no matter what happens moving forward, he is a made man. It reminds me a lot of Dirk. When Dirk got his one, Dirk was a made man. And I feel like Giannis is in that similar situation here. We'll continue more with Giannis in a bit. I want to get a little further into that. We'll open up the phones for you again at 888-SAY-ESPN. Is Paul George getting your respect? Can Giannis validate his decision? All right, but real quick, L.A., hey, L.A., have you noticed a little trend here with Major League Baseball players, particularly Trevor Bauer, the biggest offseason pitching signing here, or arguably, at least in the National League? Well, we'll get into some of the stuff about the sticky stuff and how it's sticking to a couple of particular players. We'll get to that in a moment. Don't forget, the NBA Eastern Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Game 4 of the Hawks and the Bucks is going to be on the airwaves. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 8 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. We're back in just a moment here on the Max Kellerman Show. George Sedano in for Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show continues here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max. Hit us up on the phones if you'd like to get in on the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Just to finish up before I get into some baseball here about Giannis, it is wild how life works out, because when they were down 0-2 to Brooklyn, we were like, uh-oh, James Harden's heating up. Kevin Durant's balling. And to their credit, they were able to withstand that again, albeit some of it is bad fortune for the Nets, good luck for the Bucks. The fact that Kevin Durant's shoe size is not a 17 as opposed to an 18 or whatever, because that one shot could have just changed the entire outlook of what we're discussing at the moment. But again, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. I grew up a Yankee fan, and who knows what those 90s Yankees looked like if it wasn't for Jeffrey Mayer making that catch over Tony Tarasco. So life is weird that way. You can't really, you can't focus on it too much. You just have to take the opportunities that are in front of you. And I think Giannis can go a long way to validate his decision that, again, even I was very critical of. I'm like, yo, do you want to lock yourself in with Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and a team that may or may not be as deep as last year? And Mike Budenholzer, let's not forget him. Mike Budenholzer, there were reports that he'd be out if they didn't make the conference finals. Well, maybe he saved his job too. But they have a chance to be a team that was on the brink of collapse to potentially a championship team. They're the favorite, I think. I would pick Phoenix in a series if they faced off with each other, because I still think Phoenix wins this series. I picked them originally in 7 in the West against the Clippers, even without Kawhi. But I still think that the Bucks should be the favorite, although I do think Phoenix could win that series, and I would pick them to win that series because I just buy into what Chris Paul is doing and Devin Booker and the way DeAndre Ayton is playing. But Milwaukee is no walk in the park, man. They defend at a high level. They shoot the ball pretty well. And Giannis has learned not to shoot threes and leave people off the hook and, you know, take people off the hook. So speaking of being off the hook, yesterday we touched on some of the issues in Major League Baseball with the quote-unquote sticky stuff, the spider tack, the rosin, whatever mixture that they've been using. And we highlighted two pitchers in particular because they were the two biggest additions, basically, or the two most high-profile pitchers recently that were in these discussions. And it was Gerrit Cole of the Yankees, whose ERA in June is like 4.65, and Trevor Bauer, whose ERA, even after last night's game, he dropped about a tenth of a point, down to 3.45. But it is interesting when you watch, and I was watching that Dodger game last night against the Giants because, in all honesty, it's the two best teams in the National League. And the if we're being real here, the three best teams in the National League are in that division. It's the Giants, Dodgers, and Padres in whatever order you'd like to put them in. But I was watching that game with Trevor Bauer last night. And although the stat line looks fantastic, he had pretty good stat line where he threw 6 innings, allowed 2 runs, 8 strikeouts. He scattered those 8 hits. And here's the thing about yesterday's game that, again, is something you need to keep an eye on, is how many runners they allowed to get in scoring position, some of these high-profile pitchers. You know, yes, the Giants didn't knock them in. They were 0 for 13. 13 guys in scoring position for the Giants yesterday. Not one of them was able to cross the plate in those situations. He gave up 2 solo shots. But what I'm saying is this. He doesn't look like the pitcher he was in May and in April. He doesn't. Now, is that coincidence? Maybe. I don't know if I feel that way necessarily. Again, as I said yesterday, I'm not blaming him. Pitchers are partially to blame here because you gave him a finger if you're Major League Baseball and they took an arm in this case when Major League Baseball allowed them to bend the rules a certain way. But I do blame Major League Baseball for pulling the rug from under them in the middle of the season. So I'm not blaming Bauer or Cole per se. If I was delineating a blame pie of sorts, it would be a larger portion for Major League Baseball for the rug pull. But these guys certainly are, you got to keep an eye on what's going on here and their numbers and if they continue to inflate. Or do they adapt and figure it out? Again, just something to keep an eye on. And I'm not alone on this. If Buster Olney's telling you that that's the case, and he said that on KJZ this morning about how all of a sudden Superman isn't wearing a cape anymore when he's on that mound. Okay, maybe
something
we don't have...
Something else that he said really caught my eye, and that he essentially... It was as if he was given truth serum and represented the thoughts of a lot of pitchers. He also told reporters after the game that during the course of that outing, he was like making it up in terms of trying to come up with a repertoire. He's throwing a changeup. He's throwing 60-mile-an-hour curveballs. He's trying to come up with something because what he relied on in the past is not available to him anymore. And that's been the conversation with evaluators around baseball. It's, have you seen so-and-so? Have you noticed how so-and-so doesn't have that wipeout slider anymore? It's like there's a, you know, an army of pitchers who's gone from being Superman to Clark Kent because they don't have their sticky stuff anymore. And it's absolutely fascinating to see the spin rates around baseball all going down. And look, this is the new reality, and the pitchers are going to have to adapt in midseason, and it's going to be difficult for some, and maybe some won't ever be able to adapt.
All right, so we'll see. The accusations, people who keep an eye on this stuff are out there. Speaking of accusations, Scottie Pippen accuses Phil Jackson. We'll get into that and Paul George and the Clippers next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.